neighbors. See if you're paying attention. All right. Anybody need a Bible this morning? Hold your hand up and we'll get one to you. Continue the message we began last Sunday. We've been talking about the importance of how we hear, the importance of taking heed, the importance of listening closely. And I want you to go back to the verses that we started with last Sunday. We're going to begin there again and look at some things this morning concerning take heed. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and Colossians chapter 4 are the two passages you're going to need. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and Colossians chapter 4. First Timothy chapter 4. And we'll just read verse number 14. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. And then in Colossians chapter 4, just go backwards a little bit in your Bible, Colossians chapter 4 and verse number 16 and 17. And when this epistle is read among you, cause that it be read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and that you likewise read the epistle from Laodicea, and say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received of the Lord, that thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. Let's pray. Father, help us now this morning that we may be able to convey the things that you would want said. I pray that you just give each one of us, Lord, listening ears and attentive hearts. And Father, may the Spirit of God have his way with us this morning. Lord, please take your word and just open the eyes of our understanding. Lord, help us each one to get something from the Scriptures this morning that will help to establish us, strengthen us, perfect us in the things of God. And Lord, we pray that you would minister to your church this morning. Father, I pray that you would help me and help me to say those things that are needful, and Lord, just keep me from saying those things that are unnecessary today. We pray you'd be honored and glorified in this message. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Now, as we said last week, the emphasis here in these verses is on that little expression, to take heed, to take heed. And as we said last week, the definition of to take heed means to just examine carefully, to pay close attention, to watch, to listen. That's something we don't do very well these days. We live in a very noisy, distracting environment. We live in a very noisy, distracting time in history. There's a thousand things going on around us, and a lot of those things seem worthy of our attention, but we find ourselves, maybe this is true in your life as it is in mine sometimes, paying too much attention to the things that are not going to help us. In fact, some of the things we pay attention to are going to hurt us. And there should be an amen right there. That's where amen goes. Because you know you probably spend too much time focused on things that aren't helping your spiritual life, aren't helping you, aren't helping your heart, aren't helping your marriage. And we're not going to get into that this morning necessarily, unless the Spirit moves me to do that later, but that wasn't my intention this morning. But there are certainly a lot of things, you know, pulling at us, vying for our attention. And it just seems like the world is just crying louder and louder. You know, they've got to make the message flashier and flashier and more seductive. Why? Because the world wants your attention. There's no doubt about that. The world needs your attention. They need you to buy things. They need you to think things. They need you to look at things the way the world wants you to look at things. There's definitely an opinion that is shaped for you and I by the media. And then they feed us that opinion. They want us to think that opinion. They want that opinion to be our opinion. That's the way the world works, to conform us to itself, right? The Bible tells us that we are not to be conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewing of our mind. So that just tells us the world has a conforming effect and a conforming agenda to force us to think and act the way it wants us to act. So it needs our attention. To do that, we have to pay attention. So the world thinks of ways. I mean, guys sit in Madison Avenue and are paid big salaries to dream up ways to get your attention. And it works. It works. We pay attention. I'll bet, you know, I could probably play a couple of tunes here, not even the words, to various commercials, and you'd be thinking about Coke or thinking about, you know, certain toothpaste or Wheaties or whatever. I mean, those messages are ingrained in our heads until we think that by having that thing, our life is better because we have that thing. Because the world told us if we had that thing, our life would be better. Our teeth would be whiter. We'd feel happier. We'd just, you know, all this stuff. The world needs your attention. And men are good at finding ways to get your attention. But as the world tries harder to get your attention, it becomes more and more important for us to be listening to the right things, taking heed to what's really important. And we're living in a time when, as I said last Sunday, most Christians have spiritual ADD, attention deficit disorder. We can't pay attention for very long. Unless, you know, that's why many churches have turned to more entertainment-based worship services. It has to be something visual. It has to be something satisfying to the flesh. It almost has to be Broadway quality. There has to be a certain ambiance. We have to create a mood. There has to be right music. There has to be all this stuff to sort of, you know, because it's almost like you're selling something, you know. And we got to be careful that we don't try to sell anything. The gospel does not have to be sold to anybody. It's just to be declared. It's to be preached. And the Bible says, he that hath an ear, let him hear. So when God says, here it is, listen. If you listen, there's profit in it. If you don't listen, there's loss. It's still profit and loss with God. If you listen and take heed, there's profit. If you don't take heed, there's loss. You lose. And so this morning, that's what we're going to continue to do. I just want to continue to take a look at some of these things in the Bible that have to do with taking heed. Now, a couple of these verses we looked at last week, and just to get us rolling again, I want to go back and see just a couple of them. Hebrews chapter 5. This is part of the problem. This is part of the problem that we're dealing with in this day and age. Although the book of Hebrews is not written to any church, it's written to the Jews, and it doctrinally applies to the time of the tribulation, which is future. And we're going to go back to the book of Hebrews a little bit later in the message and see something specific that the Lord warns the Jews about. But in Hebrews chapter 5, some of these things could be spiritually applied to the church today as well. And this is one thing that can certainly be applied to us. Verse 11, Hebrews 5:11, there were things that Paul wanted to teach the Jews and to say to them, but notice in verse 11 he says, of whom we have many things to say, speaking about Christ, and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. Now that's a problem. Many times I think things get dull because you know, a knife gets dull because it's used frequently and not kept sharp. And I think sometimes our ears can get dull of hearing because we've heard the story of Christ so many times. We're familiar with it. Some of you could preach this message back to me this morning. There's many things in the Word of God that are not new to any one of us. In fact, part of preaching is simply to stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, Peter said. I mean, most of the time on a Sunday morning, I'm not telling you anything new. I'm not telling you anything you haven't heard before, but just trying to perhaps say it in a way, a different way, to make you stop and think and apply it in a different way. But it's not, for most Christians, it's not new information every Sunday morning. But what can happen? Many times our ears get dull of hearing, and we could hear it and don't appreciate it. We could hear things about Jesus Christ this morning. You know what? There is no Sunday morning when any one of us should need a cheerleader. Now, I know we say it. Pat does it. Pat Dean did it. But there isn't any reason why you and I should need a cheerleader to pump us up, to get us excited about our own Savior. Imagine if you needed that every day in your life to get excited about your wife or your husband. You needed somebody to come in and say, all right, now I'm going to remind you of all the good things. No, if it's on our mind and we've been thinking and listening and hearing and reading, nobody should need to get pumped up. We ought to get up in the morning thinking with Him on our mind. If we've been in the book at all, He's going to be on your mind. If you've been spending any time with Him, He's going to be on your mind. If you've been reading His Word, He's going to be on your mind. If He's not on your mind, it's because you haven't been in the book, you haven't been talking to Him, you haven't been letting Him talk to you, you haven't been thinking about Him. You've been filled with, and you know what? Our ears get dull of hearing. Some of you are dull this morning. Your ears are dull. You've got too much of the world, too much of the TV, too much of soap opera, too much of Oprah, too much of stuff. You will listen to counsel from the world and talk about it with your friends before you will listen to the counsel of the Word of God. You know what? And some of you read too many Christian books, by the way. Yeah, it's true. Some of you read too many Christian books because you neglect your Bible. Some of you, your Christian ideas are formed by Christian authors and not by God Himself in His Word. If the Christian books, I'm not trying to diminish the sales or whatever in our bookstore downstairs. Buy some good books. But you know what? If you're reading those above your Bible, we should close that thing down there. Because we're not helping anybody. We're not helping anybody. If you're reading those books and your opinions are formed because of the authors, the Christian authors in those books, and you're not reading the Word of God and letting the Holy Spirit form your opinions and give you counsel and teach you and direct you, then something's wrong. We got to be careful we don't get dull of hearing. There's thousands of seminars, thousands of conferences you can go to. How to be a better Christian, how to be a better wife, how to be a better husband. Of the writing of books, there is no end. I mean, there's books and books and books and books and books and books. And the most important one is usually neglected. That one is usually neglected. The one that has the power in it, the one that has the Spirit of God in it. Spirit of God is not in, I have thousands of books, I don't know. And I've gotten a benefit out of many of them. Some of them are just, you know, kindling in the fireplace. But a lot of them have been a tremendous benefit. Some I go back to again and again. But you know what? I know that the Spirit of God is not in those books. The Spirit of God inhabits these words right here. Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and life. This is where the life-changing power is. And you know what? The sad thing is it's neglected by some of you in here. It's neglected. You don't neglect your favorite program. You don't neglect your newspaper. Some of you cannot start your day without a coffee and the Daily News or the Post or whatever it is. You can't start the day without it. You got to have it. You got to find out what's going on. And I'm a little that way too. I like to try to be informed. But you know what? There are some things we would not neglect. Our day would not be complete without them. But how many days do we let go by and we neglect the Word of God, the most important thing, and our ears get dull of hearing? It's a common problem. It may be your problem today. Your ears are dull. Or maybe you've got, instead of dull ears, maybe you've got itching ears. That was another problem, probably prevalent. Probably it's a prevalent one in the Laodicean period. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Here's another ear problem. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Paul said that in the last days this would be more and more prevalent. It says, verse number 3, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts," some passionate desire to have something. He's talking about, in this case, he's talking about pastors, I believe, because this is a letter written to pastors. This is, first of all, an admonition and a reproof to leadership, not to the congregation. So this is taught, the they in this verse, I don't think is the congregation. The they in this verse, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine." I don't think that's the congregation. I think that's the leaders. I think those are the men that are the pastors, the bishops, the elders, the deacons, the ones that should know better. They will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers. Lots of books, lots of seminars, lots of conferences, lots of programs. Heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. There's just something like, I don't know, you ever have an itch? And you just got to satisfy. You've got to apply. You've got to scratch that thing. There's just something itching inside some preachers. They want to know, how can I get more money? How can I have bigger offerings? How can I have a bigger building? How can I have more fame? How can I publish my own book? How can I fill this? I want to fill this auditorium up. How can I, you know what? All that stuff can be simply carnal lust. It can just be a lust for something that the Lord doesn't want you to have. And I think that's prevalent today too. It says in verse number 4, it says, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. You know, the truth is hard to take sometimes. The truth is not always easy on the ears. It's not always easy on the ears. The truth sometimes is hard to hear. And that's why we turn our ears away from it. Fables, hey, fables can't hurt you. Just a story, just a fable, you know. I guess that would be the stuff on TV, right? Fables, stories. Had a nice plot. You know, that stuff can't hurt you. I mean, you know, so we think and so we listen. But the Word of God sometimes can cut like a sword. And sometimes you read it and sometimes it's hard to be understood. No doubt about it. There's parts of the book that are hard to understand. And so we just, we give up. It's not worth the effort, we think. It's just too much trouble. I'm too busy. I don't have the time to do that. And yet the greatest benefit to your life would be is if you just turn your ears toward the Word of God and take heed. Listen with that intention that you're going to take it in and do something with it. You're going to lay hold of that truth. That's what God wants us to do, to take heed. Living in these times that we live in, with things getting worse and worse around us, we've got conservative radio, conservative talk radio. I listen to that sometimes. There's lots of all kinds of voices, and everybody's got an opinion. There's all kinds of debates, and we get sucked into these things sometimes. And we listen, and we take it in, and we form our opinions, and blah, blah, blah. And you know what? Most of the time, if we just took a calculator and added up the amount of time that we spend listening to the world, reading the world, watching the world, compared to listening to the Word of God, reading the Word of God, listening to God, I'll bet you it's a fraction of time over here compared to a huge amount of our day spent in front of the radio and spent in front of the TV, spent in front of a newspaper, spent in front of the world. And we wonder, how come we just don't have a heart for God and a heart for the things of God? Well, he said that it was going to be a problem in these last days. It's going to be an ear problem. It's going to be a hearing problem. We're not going to be listening. In fact, the Church of Laodicea in Revelation chapter 3, if you remember, where is the Lord standing at that? And you know, in that situation, here's a church that it looks like makes him sick. He would vomit it out of his mouth. And Revelation 3:20 says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." Then it says, "If any man hear my voice, if." Imagine that. Imagine a church that may or may not hear the word, may or not hear when the Lord speaks. Says, if any man, he's talking about his church. If any man hear my voice, if any man hear my voice, that means it must be possible in these times that we're living in that a guy who is saved or a girl who's saved may not even hear the voice of God because they may not be listening. Take heed, the Bible says. Take heed. Go to Exodus chapter 29. Exodus chapter 29 deals with the consecration of the Old Testament priests. Now, we don't have priests in the New Testament. Somebody today is running around claiming to be a priest, claiming to be a mediator between you and God. They're a phony. They're a fake. They're a fraud. They're an imposter. They're a deceiver. And I don't care how harmless they look. They're an instrument of evil and an agent of the devil. The Bible says calls them a lot worse than that. I'm being nice. Jesus was a lot harder on them. But in the Old Testament, there were priests. There were human mediators because men could not approach unto God because Jesus had not died on the cross yet. So there were all kinds of impediments. You stood on the outside of the tabernacle, and all you could do was you could go as far as the outer court, you could bring your sacrifice, and that was it. Somebody took it from there. Somebody else went into the presence of God for you. You get to go into His presence now yourself. Come boldly before the throne of grace. You can speak to God, and you are in His presence, and He lives inside this body, is His tabernacle now and His temple now. But in the Old Testament, you needed a human priest. And so that Old Testament priest was a pretty important figure. He was a type of Christ. He's also, in the Old Testament, a type of you today, a type of the New Testament believer, because his privileges in the Old Testament are very similar to your privileges, your spiritual privileges that you have right now. In the Old Testament, he was given the Word of God. People didn't usually walk around with a copy of the Scriptures in their homes. The king had to have a copy. He had to make it himself. And the Levites had the law. And they were to teach the law, read the law to the people. So some of his privileges in the Old Testament are like the privileges you have now. He had the Word of God. He could speak directly to God. He could bring God's sacrifices that were acceptable unto the Lord. He could hear God's mind and get God's mind and then communicate that to the people. I mean, you and I, he could minister inside the tabernacle. He could look upon the table of shewbread. He could see that candlestick. He could see that altar of incense. I mean, those were all things that were types of the privileges and blessings that you and I have now spiritually. So that Old Testament priest was a pretty important figure. Right? The priesthood is done away with in the New Testament, but we still can see some things about him that can be applied. And look at this thing. When the day of his consecration came, that means the day that he began his ministry. It was usually at a certain age. He had to be of a certain tribe. And his initiation, if you will, the day in which he began his ministry, he was washed from head to toe. And then he would begin his ministry. And it says here in Exodus chapter 29, look at one of the things that was done when God began this Old Testament situation, this Old Testament economy, when God first set up the priesthood. It says in verse number 15, "Thou shalt also take one ram, and Aaron and his sons," the sons of Aaron, the descendants of Aaron, would be the priests. And it says, "And shall put their hands upon the head of the ram, thou shalt slay the ram, thou shalt take his blood and sprinkle it round about on the altar." So a sacrifice was made. The priest's consecration began with the shedding of blood. A sacrifice was made. Some of the blood, there were two rams offered. One ram, its blood was sprinkled on the tabernacle. But notice what was done with the other ram. In verse number 19, it says, "And thou shalt take the other ram, and Aaron and his sons shall put their hands upon the head of the ram. Then shalt thou kill the ram, and take of his blood, and put it upon the tip of the right ear of Aaron, and upon the tip of the right ear of his sons, and upon the thumb of their right hand, and upon the great toe of their right foot, and sprinkle the blood upon the altar round about." Now, in other words, the blood consecrated that priest's ears, hands, feet. He was to be intimately connected with the blood of that sacrifice. But notice the first part of him that the blood is applied to, the ear. That's the first thing that the blood was applied to, is that his ears in type. What does that mean? When you and I get saved and the blood of Jesus Christ is applied to you, you know the first thing that ought to change? The first thing that you ought to realize now belongs to Jesus Christ and is consecrated to Him, surrendered and dedicated to Him, belongs to Him, your ears. When a person gets saved, the first thing that should change is that they begin to hear the Word of God. They begin to want to hear the Word of God. As newborn babes desire the sincere what? Milk of the Word. That's the first thing. Even a baby, the first bones in a baby's body that come to maturity are the bones in the inner ear. That is the first part of a baby that begins to work fully, a fully functioning part of a baby. Even in the womb, a baby can hear. People have said that a baby in the womb can hear voices. It can remember the sound of its mother's voice because it's heard it in the womb. Its eyes aren't open. Other parts of its body aren't fully developed, but the ear develops first. Why? There's a principle there. The ear was consecrated first. The blood was applied to the ear first on that. Because right in the beginning, the Lord wants, right at the start, your ear. Faith cometh by seeing, right? No. By hearing. and hearing by the Word of God. God wants our ears. From the very beginning, from the start of our salvation, God expects that when He speaks, we're going to listen. That we'll want to hear. Maybe God is going to say something to me today. He wants our ears from the start. I don't know if He has your ears today. I don't know if He has your ears. I don't know if the blood of Jesus Christ has been applied to your ears yet. Unless you've realized that our whole body was bought with His blood. But you know the part of us that ought to be first considered purchased? First considered His? First fully yielded to Him? This thing right here. That means you got to be careful about what you let in here. That means you probably need to turn some things off on your radio. That means most of you probably need to throw out about 99% of your CDs. Because your ear was purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. And your ear is to be consecrated to the Lord. Because you got to be careful how you hear and you got to be careful what you hear. You're responsible for what you allow to go in your ear. You're responsible. God's marking it all down. That's a scary thought, isn't it? It's all written down. And He bought your ear, first of all, the first part of you that He wants. So I thought He want my heart. What about my hands? I want to do something for the Lord. No, ears came before hands and feet. And I think the reason for that is if the Lord gets your ear, your hands are going to do what they should. Your feet are going to go where they should go. He's not going to have to worry about the rest of you if He's got your ear. But if He doesn't have your ear, He doesn't get any of the rest of you. Your hands are never going to know what to do. You aren't listening. Your feet are never going to know where to go because you aren't listening. The ear's got to be the thing that you yield to the Lord on a daily basis. You've got to give it to God. You've got to surrender that instrument, that member of your body. You've got to surrender that to God. And then you've got to be careful about what you put in it. Because you're going to give an account for all the things that you've listened to. The counsel of the ungodly, the Bible says, avoid that, right? That means sometimes we just sit around and we'll take advice from all kinds of wicked sources. That means God is watching and listening and taking note of what you and I hear. Yes, what we see, but what we hear, I think, sometimes is more damaging than what we see. Go to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. Look at verse number 24. Mark chapter 4, verse number 24. Let's read verse 23 also. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. God give you ears? Everybody here got ears? Okay, anybody here missing ears? Everybody's got an ear. Got ears, right? God didn't forget to give you some ears. You got ears. I think this is a little humor on the Lord's part. If any man hath ears, oh, wait, Lord, you forgot to give me ears. What happened? If you got ears, then what does God expect you to do? He expects you to hear. If any man hath ears to hear, let him hear. Watch this. And He said unto them, take heed. Take heed what ye hear. Oh. Take heed. Pay close attention to what you allow into your ears. Examine it. Take note of it. It's important. Because what you listen to, whether it's the counsel of this world, the counsel of the ungodly, whether it's advice from TV, radio, mother-in-law, father-in-law, sister-in-law, Uncle Bill, Aunt Jane, you're responsible for what you hear. Take heed what you hear. Take heed what you hear. Watch this. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you, and unto you that hear shall more be given. For he that hath, to him shall be given, and he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath. Do you have a heart to listen? Do you have a desire to hear? Do you have a willingness to take heed? Then God will bless you with more. He'll give you more. To he that hath, to him shall be given. If you don't have that kind of desire, If you have not a willingness to take heed, if you have not a desire to hear, if you're not interested even in the sincere milk of the Word of God, then even the things that you have, the blessings that you have, the Lord can take those things away. It depends on what you hear. It depends on what you hear. Take heed what you hear. You know, some things are just not good to listen to. Go to Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Look at verse number 21. Ecclesiastes 7. I'll give you a little time to find it because I know you're probably not in Ecclesiastes very often. Chapter 7, verse 21. Also, take no heed unto all words that are spoken. That means don't listen to everything. Don't listen to everything. Some things should be thrown right out, should be disregarded right at the beginning. Take no heed unto all words that are spoken. Some people just want to know what everybody's saying. They want to know, well, what did he say about me? Well, what's going on? They got to know everything. They want to know what's going on in everybody's life and who's saying what about this and about that. They're just curious. Bible says, take no heed unto everything that's said. Notice why. Look at what it says in the next verse. Lest thou hear thy servant curse thee. If you listen too much, you know what? Guess what? I tell you this. Sooner or later, you're going to hear somebody say something negative about you. So that's not my friends. Really? About 3 seconds after you're out of the room. You know what? If you want to hear it all, you're a fool, because sooner or later, you're going to hear something you disagree with. You're going to hear something, well, wait a minute, I can't believe they said that about me? Well, what did they say that for? I can't, well, who did they tell? Blah, 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 blah. You know what? The Bible, it's just good not to be so curious and not so intent on finding out what everything that's being said. Don't take heed to everything. Be selective in what you listen to. Take heed what you hear. You know what happens? Sooner or later, you're going to hear somebody say, find out somebody said something negative about you. Now, everybody does it. You do it, too. Now, you know what? Look at the next verse. You say, well, not me. Take, lest thou hear thy servant curse thee, for oftentimes also thine own heart knoweth that thou thyself likewise hast cursed others. You see, you dummy, you self-righteous idiot, you do the same thing. And when you find out somebody else said something about you, now you're bitter. Now you, when you look at them, you can't look at them without going, oh, I can't believe you're thinking about that. But you know what? If you hadn't ever heard it, you'd still love them like you should have been loving them anyway. And maybe as you loved them the way you should have been loving them anyway, after a while they'd repent of what they said and get it right with God. But no, you want to be judge, jury, executioner. You want to settle every score. You want to hear it all, know it all. I want to know what's going on. You're like spiritual CIA. You know, you want to know what everybody's saying and thinking. Just stay out of it. Just get your ear tuned right here. Listen to this. There's more than enough right here to pay attention to. If you're listening to this, you know what? You don't have a lot of time to be worrying about what so-and-so is saying. Take no heed to everything that's said. Be selective in what you listen to. Select the things that are going to benefit you and profit you spiritually. Shut some things off. Tune some things out. Disregard some things. Just consider that everybody is flesh. And every now and then, somebody's going to say something that hurts your feelings. Instead of going on the warpath, and then you start, just, you yourself have done the same thing. Ecclesiastes has got you nailed right to the ground. You do the same thing. So have a little charity, and be selective in what you listen to, so that you don't run your mouth and hurt more people in the process. Take heed what you hear. Be selective. Choose something good. Choose something edifying. Choose something that's got some eternal value. Choose something that has the Spirit of God in it. Shut some things off. Now, I'm telling you, we'd have a better church if half of you would shut your TV off. At least, just cut down 50%. You'd probably have a revival in your heart. And if some of you would get rid of some of the music you're listening to, I guarantee you, you'd draw closer to God. Say, you just don't like my music. Hey, I don't listen to hymns all day long either. But I know the kind of stuff that makes me think the wrong way. I know the kind of stuff that just turns my thoughts right to the things of the flesh, right to this world that has me thinking like the world thinks. I know better than to fill my head with that stuff. I'm not saying hymns all day long. I mean, that wouldn't be bad for you. But what I'm saying is you better be selective in what you listen to, because you're going to give an account for what you allow into you. Now, some things you can't shut out. The noise is all around us. But there are some things you and I deliberately choose to listen to. We get closer to. We want to hear it a little more. You're going to give an account for that. Take heed. All right, look at Luke chapter 8. Not only take heed to what you listen to, but even when you've selected the right thing to listen to, say, all right, I'm going to shut things off. I'm going to get rid of some music. I'm going to get rid of some TV programs. I'm going to throw Oprah out the window. Amen? Amen? Ladies, let me hear the ladies say amen to that. Amen. I know there are things for the guys that are just as bad. Phil, or I don't know. I don't even know what those guys are. Dr. Phil, Dr. Susie Q, Judge Judy, all this stuff. But I tell you what, it's the counsel of the world. It's the advice of the ungodly. Most of that is coming from the opinions of hearts that do not love Jesus Christ. And you better tune it out. All right, look, where did I send you? Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8, look at verse number 18. Now, this is one of those times when the exact same words of the Lord Jesus Christ are just recorded in a slightly different way, but that's always important, because that means on that occasion he probably said both things, and Mark records one thing, Luke records something else. Look at Luke chapter 8 and verse number 18. It says, take heed. Am I in the right chapter? Yeah, okay. Take heed, therefore, how ye hear. Now, this is the same instance that Mark recorded. Mark records it, take heed what ye hear. That means Jesus probably said both things. They're both recorded here. Take heed what you hear. And here he says, take heed how you hear. So even when you've selected the right thing to listen to, you're spending more time in the book, you're listening to the right things, then notice it says, take heed therefore how ye hear. So there is a right way to listen and a wrong way to listen, even when you're listening to the right thing. Even when you've made the right choice, the wise choice, you're listening to the Word of God, there's a right way and a wrong way to listen. Let me show you. Keep your finger there, because we're going to come right back. Just stick something in Luke chapter 8, and I'm going to come right back to it. Go back to Nehemiah chapter 8. Nehemiah chapter 8. It's in the Old Testament. Back before Job in the book of Psalms, you're going to find Nehemiah. Esther, Nehemiah, and then the book of Job. I'm sorry, Nehemiah and then Esther. Look at verse chapter number 8. Look at verse number 1. Nehemiah chapter 8. Nehemiah is the book of when chronologically, this has to do with the children of Israel after their 70 years of captivity, after they had returned back into the land, and they are getting to know their God again, and they're under right leadership now, and they're trying to get things right. And notice in Nehemiah chapter 8, this is a great, great story of how to listen, of how. They not only took heed as to what to hear, they're going to show you in this chapter how to hear. And look in verse number 1, all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street. They were all unified in this. They all had one purpose. That was before the water gate. And they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. I think I noticed that for the first time just when I read this over. It wasn't Ezra that called them together to read the scriptures to them. It was them that called on Ezra and said, get that book and come and read it to us. They selected the reading material. They wanted to hear what God had to say in the law. So they got Ezra and they said, get the book of the law. Get God's word. And we're gathered together. All the people gathered together out in the street. And they wanted Ezra to come out and read the word of God to them. Notice verse 2. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women and all that could hear with understanding. That's important, right? Listen and try to understand what you're hearing. That should be the goal. Not just to hear it, but to understand it so that you can apply it. All those that could hear with understanding upon the first day of the seventh month. And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate from the morning until midday. Now, I would guess that's at least 3 or 4 hours, right? These people are standing up. And Ezra's got the book. And what are they doing? There's no drama here. There's no light show. There's no skit. There's no entertainment. They're simply listening, standing and listening for hours to him read God's word. And it says, from the morning until midday, before the men and the women and those that could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. Wow. Take heed how you hear. Well, that's one thing that's good right there. Pay attention. They were attentive. They were avoiding any possible distraction. I mean, they're outdoors. There probably was a lot of things to look at. The sky, the clouds. Oh, look, that one looks like a rabbit. Wow, look at that. And oh, I can't believe she's wearing that. And what do we? I wonder when we're going to eat. It's almost lunchtime. It's a whole lot of stuff to think about. But these people are showing you how to hear. Avoid everything, every possible distraction, and focus your attention on the Word of God. Notice the result of that. Verse 5, Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And when that just means he was on a platform, he was higher up than they were, and they could see him, for he was above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, Amen, with lifting up their hands. And they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. You know what? They were responding to what they heard. They weren't hearers, but they were reacting. They were responding to what God was saying to them. What was their response? To worship Him. To praise Him. Amen! Amen! Boy, that's a good response when you hear something from the Scriptures that's good, right? Amen's a good, that's a good word. That's a good Bible word. You're allowed to say amen in this church. You can do that. Some of you don't know that, but you're allowed to say amen. Nobody's going to, you know, throw you out. And what are they saying amen to? They're saying amen to something they've heard in the Word of God. Ezra doesn't even say he's preaching. He's just reading. He's not preaching. He's reading and then explaining it, giving the sense, it says later. Giving the sense. And what are they doing? Amen! Amen! And they're worshiping. The Word of God, they're not only paying attention, but notice, as they pay attention, it's affecting their heart. Their response is to love more the one who wrote those words. To love Him. They're not worshiping Ezra. They're not praising Ezra. They're not thinking in their hearts, oh, what a wonderful man Ezra is. Wow, listen to his diction. He must have been an English teacher. Listen to how he, wow. No, their only thought is, what a wonderful God. What an amazing book. They're worshiping the one that wrote those words. If you and I approach this book with the right heart attitude, if you're listening with the right heart attitude, I'm not any longer the issue. The author's the issue. His words are the issue. The truths in here that you are being presented with again, maybe for the 35th time, are the issue. And the response God is looking for is, are you paying attention? What would your response be if you were really paying attention? You'd love the one that wrote the words. You'd worship Him. You'd say amen. I don't know out loud, but in your heart, your spirit would be going, amen. Yes, that's true. Thank you, Lord. That's the right response of a listening heart. Unless you're dull of hearing, unless your ears were itching for something else this morning, I don't have any jokes. Do I have any jokes this morning? No, I don't have any jokes. I don't have any jokes. I don't have any stories. I don't have any illustrations. I don't have any comments from Spurgeon. But you know what? If your ears are tuned to the Word of God, you're going to get something out of this. Go down a little further. It says, verse 8, so they read in the book, in the law of God, distinctly, and gave the sense. He's just explaining as he went along. And caused them to understand the reading. And Nehemiah, which is the Tirshatha, and Ezra the priest, the scribe, and the Levites that taught the people, said unto all the people, this day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not, nor weep. For all the people wept when they heard the words of the Lord. Wow. You know what? You can't help but get emotionally involved when you're listening to this book. This book squeezes your emotions. I mean, it's a book that makes you happy. That's an emotion. It's a book that gives you joy. I mean, that's an emotion. It's a book that every once in a while is going to make you cry, if you're listening at all. If you're paying any kind of attention at all, every once in a while, just from reading in this book, you're going to cry. I don't know how you could read about the cross and not cry. I don't know how you could read about people going to hell, about judgment, without it, you know, emotionally, something's got to be tugging at your heart. Unless your heart is just so stone cold dead that God can't get through to you anymore. The people wept. The people worshiped. The people paid attention. Jesus said in Luke chapter 8, Take heed how ye hear. And notice the warning again. Here's the same warning that was recorded in Mark chapter 4. Take heed how ye hear. Wait, I lost my place. Where was it? Verse 18. Oh, there it is. Take heed therefore how ye hear. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have. So you know what? If you and I don't listen properly, we're going to lose some things. If you and I don't take heed, we will not profit, we will suffer loss for simply not taking heed. Look in the context of Luke chapter 8. Here are some problems here's some things that interfere with our hearing. Luke chapter 8, look at verse number 11. This follows, that statement in verse 18 follows right after the parable of the sower and the seed. It's connected. And you remember the parable of the sower and the seed. The sower is Jesus Christ. The seed is the Word of God. And these various kinds of soil represent different kinds of people, different conditions of the human heart. And how many times the same word preached will have different results because of the condition of your heart, because of the kind of ground that the Word of God falls upon. This morning, I assume every time I preach, there's those four kinds of soil in here, those four kinds of human hearts. Not every heart is prepared to hear. Not every human heart is attentive to the Word of God. Not every one of us, when we hear God's Word, is really listening to take heed, to apply, to put it into use. You know, some of us, it's just like the conditions of these soils here. And it says, verse 11, the parable is this, the seed is the Word of God. And what are the soils? It's how people hear and receive the Word of God. Ground receives the seed. The seed is planted into the ground. The ground is just the receptacle for that seed. The Word of God is planted into your heart through your ear. You hear. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. But not every heart can receive that Word of God and have it bear fruit. There's no problem with the seed. It's not that the Word of God is defective. The seed is the same seed. It's the Word of God. It's eternal. It's powerful. It's quick. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. But what's the issue? The issue is the condition of the heart, the quality of the hearing. Notice it says, this is all about hearing, how people hear the Word of God. It says in verse number 12, those by the wayside are they that hear. Every one of these various groups hear. None of them are, all of them have ears, and all of them hear. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. So some people are easily distracted. The devil, like a little bird, can just fly in there, because in the parable it's the fowls of the air that just swoop down. As soon as the seed is sown, you notice the birds in a field or a garden, when the seed is sown, they're down there right away trying to pluck it up. The devil is like that. Spirits are like that. When you're listening, I guarantee you the devil's not out in the parking lot. He's right here. His work, his interest, his focus is right here. And what's happening, because the Word of God has the potential to change people's lives. That book has the potential to save somebody here who's not saved. He's not interested in the quality of our lawn, the condition of your car. He's interested in what's happening in here with that Word, because he knows the danger of the Word of God, the danger to him. This is all he cares about, is how that word will be received. Because if the word is not received, he's got nothing to worry about. He's got no problem. You're not a threat. You're not a problem. If you never listen and you don't receive the Word of God, you're no problem at all for him. So his issue is, what's going to happen? The Word of God is being preached. All those people are in that room. The Bible's open. They got a Bible in their lap. All right, that's not necessarily a threat. The Bible in your lap is no threat to him. Neither is it a threat on your dashboard or on your coffee table. It doesn't bother him at all. The only place it bothers him is if it gets in your heart and you apply it. So what happens? He's interested in interrupting how you hear the Word of God. Distractions. A million thoughts can come through your mind while you're sitting right here doing the preaching. A million thoughts. Oh, I got so many bills. Oh, Susie's sick. And then we're just thinking about all this other stuff. And every one of those little distractions is how Satan just plucks that seed away before it can do any damage to him and do any benefit to you. These are they which hear, but as soon as the seed is sown, the devil comes and takes away the word. Right? Notice verse number 12. Lest they should believe and be saved. Then there's this other group, verse 13. They on the rock are they which when they hear, they're listening too. They hear, they even go a step further. They receive the word with joy for a little while. For a little while it's, wow, that was good. Boy, that was a great message and blah, blah, blah. And man, yeah, I want to get that tape and yeah. Just let it get a little rough when you get home this afternoon. Just let your wife look at you cross-eyed. Just let your husband say the wrong thing and you can forget everything you heard this morning. Amen? Right? How many of you had some of your best fights on Sunday afternoon? Right? Okay. Right? Been to church on Sunday morning and tear the house apart on Sunday afternoon. It can happen. Right? We hear, receive it with joy initially, right? These have no root. Which for a while believe, and in time of temptation, as soon as the test comes, as soon as a problem comes, as soon as an affliction comes, as soon as some... Brother, I'm just going to ask you, okay, if you don't mind, when you come back in, just get a seat there in the back, okay? If you don't mind. I just want you to be comfortable. Get a chair for him right there in the back. All right? When you don't let that word... Stay. How does a seed get rooted? I guess if you put a seed in the ground and then 5 minutes later just went and dug it back up again, it isn't going to have what is required for the root to actually begin to, wouldn't it be time? Right? The condition of the soil, it's going to take a little time. I don't think the seed sprouts 10 seconds after it's put in the ground. I mean, I'm not a farmer, but I don't think it works that way. I think you put it in the ground and a little time needs to go by. It's got to stay there. In other words, you got to keep it in your heart. You got to meditate on it. You got to maybe go over it a couple of times. You got to think about it. It can't just be listened to and then forgotten. It has to be held on to. You got to hold on to some things in the Scriptures. When will the Word of God benefit you the best? When you hold on to it. Memorize it. Meditate on it. Think about it. Take it home and talk about it. If nobody's listening and you can't find somebody to talk about with it, talk to yourself. Go talk to God about it. No, but right? It takes a little while. It says, for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. So they heard. They didn't hold on to what they... So that, take heed how you hear. Notice another one. And then the next one. Verse number 14. And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. Now, what's wrong with that guy? He's just got too many other things in his life that he's paying attention to. He's got too many other things in his life that thrill his soul. All that thrills my soul is money. All that thrills my soul is TV. All that thrills my soul is the stock market and baseball and this and that and fishing and golf and this. And there's a long list of things that just... take our money, take our time, take our attention, thrill our hearts, and it just become cares and burdens. And you know what happens? It crowds out the Word of God. What does it say? You read it for yourself. Doesn't it say that? It says, when they have heard, they go forth and are choked. Choked. So there's just too much else growing there in the heart. And it just crowds out. It takes all the nutrients, right? It takes out all the water. It takes out all the things in the soil that the seed need. And that's what happens. You put so much junk in your heart, it takes away all... It's like, you know, you don't want your kids to fill up on candy and popcorn before dinner. Not that those things aren't okay now and then. You know what? What happens? It takes away the appetite for the things that are good. And some of us have got so much junk in us, it's just robbed us of an appetite. It's robbed us of the energy to pay attention to the things of God. We don't have any more energy and desire left because there's so many other things that have, you know, filled our palate. And you heard, you're listening, but take heed how you hear, or else the word of God will not profit you. And then that last guy there, verse number 15, but that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. You know, God expects you to take heed to how you hear, to what you hear. He expects you to have your ears consecrated, sanctified, surrendered to Him. Your ears belong to Him. It's the first part of you that has to be given to Him every day. Your ears. Because if He has your ear, He'll get your heart. If He has your ear, He'll get your hands, He'll get your feet. If He has your ear, if you're listening the right way, if you're hearing the way you should hear, then everything else just follows along behind that. So it looks like in the last days, the problem is the hearing. ADD. Spiritual ADD. Does God have your ear this morning? Now, we were going to go on. I'm going to let you out early today. We still didn't get to the things that the Bible says to take heed concerning. There's probably 7 or 8 of them in the Bible. And that's the rest of this message. That's what we're going to get to. But I want you to understand, and I hope agree with me, about the importance of listening carefully. Not to me, but to God. To the Word. Right? Now, it doesn't matter who's up here. If they've got the Word of God open, then there is something in that book that can benefit you. There is something that can be of value and profit to you. And that's the way you and I ought to look at it. That God has things that He wants to say to us. He has a right to speak, and He has a right to expect us to listen. All right, let me just close with this. These two verses that we just looked at, Mark chapter 4, Luke chapter 8, indicate that if you don't take heed, you suffer loss. If you don't take heed, you lose something. Apparently valuable. And so if we're not listening, and that is the problem in the Laodicean church, is we don't listen. And if we're not listening, we suffer loss. That's going to be our problem at the judgment seat of Christ. Loss. The Bible says, take heed how you build thereon. Talking in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 about building on that foundation which is Christ. Take heed. Go back to Exodus chapter 19 with me. I'll just do this last point quickly and then we'll get out of here. Exodus chapter 19. Exodus 19. Now this is one of those early times in the Scriptures when the Lord said, take heed. In Exodus chapter 19, verse number 12, I was going to read the context but we'll save some time and just avoid that. Exodus chapter 19, verse number 12. The people are being, right now in Exodus chapter 19, the people are gathered together at Mount Sinai. God, remember, think of the context here. Children of Israel, they've been God's people ever since the days of Abraham, hundreds of years before, in captivity for 350 some years. And now they've been delivered from Egypt. God has proven that He is God. He's destroyed and humiliated the gods of Egypt. And He's drowned Pharaoh and his army in the Red Sea. The children of Israel are out in the wilderness, finally free to serve and worship God the way they should. And what's one of the first things that God does is He gathers His people to Himself at a mountain, Mount Sinai. He gathers His people who have no book yet, and He gathers His people around a mountain to give them a book, to give them His words, His commandments, His law. He gathers them at Mount Sinai. This took place early in their 40 years in the wilderness, in the first year. They go to this mountain. God is gathering them there. And you know what? This is not a friendly chat. This is not, oh, just come up here and sit on my knee and let Father just hug you. And man, this is a scary experience. This is not a little fireside chat where the family's being gathered around the fireplace and we're having just some warm hugs. No, this is a terrifying experience for them. They're seeing God, first of all, in His holiness and His righteousness, in His glorious power. God, that's the first thing God wanted them to learn about Him. It's not that He's a loving God, but that He is a righteous God. He is a holy God. He is a fearsome God. And so He brings them to this mountain. And notice what he says to them at this mountain in verse number 12. He says, "And thou shalt set bounds unto the people round about, saying, Take heed to yourselves that ye go not up into the mount, or touch the border of it. Whosoever toucheth the mount shall be surely put to death." Imagine that. God brings the people to Himself around this mountain and says, "Stay back." It's the first thing He tells them. I want you to pay attention to this. Listen to what I'm telling you, He's saying. Take heed unto yourselves. Don't touch this mountain. Don't come near this mountain. Moses is going to come up into this mountain, and I'm going to give him the Word of God, and he's going to bring it back down for you to listen to. And the sight of this, the sound of this, was so terrifying. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12 that even Moses said, "I do exceedingly fear and quake. I'm scared to death," Moses said. This is not a cuddly God. This is not Grandpa. This is an awesome, fearsome God. This is Israel's first experience in getting to know God. He said, first of all, He's holy and He's righteous, and you don't just approach Him when and where and how you want to. God says, "I'm going to give you My Word, but stay back. Don't touch this mountain." That was the mountain of God, a holy mountain. Take heed, He said. Take heed. Now go to Hebrews chapter 12. And Paul tells the Hebrews of the tribulation, the Hebrews of the last days, he reminds them of that earlier generation which was brought to a mountain in the wilderness and given God's Word and told to take heed and did not take heed. Now that early generation, that first generation in the wilderness, that first experience where Jews were going to hear from God as a nation, as a people, kind of set the pattern for what they did ever after. They would hear and never listen, never obey, never take heed. And now the book of Hebrews is written to a later generation, a generation which doctrinally exists, is going to live in the tribulation time after the church is raptured. This is written to Jews and directly applicable to Jews in the future in the tribulation. And Paul is writing a letter for them too. And he's giving them a warning. They are about to receive a kingdom, the millennial kingdom. And as they survive through the tribulation, as they look forward to the coming of Jesus Christ to rescue them from their trouble, Paul gives them this warning in Hebrews chapter 12. It says in verse 18, "For ye are not come unto the mount that might be touched, that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet, and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them anymore." They were so afraid. The sound of it. They said to Moses in Exodus chapter 19, "Moses, you go up and find out what God wants us to do, and you tell us, but just tell God not to speak to us directly anymore like this, because it was too scary." And God said, "Okay, I'll remember that." And so from that point on, He spoke to the people through mediators. They requested it. It was too scary to hear the voice of God directly. And it says here, the voice of God was accompanied, look at verse 19, with the sound of a trumpet, the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them anymore. For they could not endure that which was commanded. And this is what was commanded. "And if so much as a beast touch the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart." And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, "I exceedingly fear and quake." Moses had already spoken to God directly in the wilderness before this. And the thing was so scary and terrifying, even Moses was afraid. He never saw God like this. The mountain is shaking. And the mountain is on fire. The mountain is smoking. And the voice of God from heaven is speaking. And there are trumpets blaring. And the Bible says they got louder and louder and louder and louder. Can you imagine how many of these people were just shaking in their shoes? Notice it says, now this is written to the Jews living in the tribulation. It says, "But ye are come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels." This is what's before you. This is what awaits you. God didn't bring you out to some fiery mountain where He's going to give you His law. That already happened. What's God doing now? God in the tribulation is gathering the children of Israel together for some other purpose. Gathering them together unto this, says verse 23, "to the general assembly and church of the firstborn which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all men, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. Why? They did. They did in the past. You in the future. Jesus Christ Himself. I believe this means that during the tribulation, Jesus is going to make an appearance. He's going to speak and appear like He did to Paul on the road to Damascus. Paul said He was like one born out of due time. It was like a preview of what God was going to do with the nation. That means in the tribulation, Jesus Christ Himself is going to appear and speak. It says He's going to speak from heaven in verse number 25. See that you refuse not him that speaketh, for if they escape not, who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. Now, hold a finger there. Just go back to Hebrews chapter 2. Verse number 3. It says, how shall we escape? How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed on... So God spoke the message of His salvation, and that message was neglected. Notice in verse number 1, Hebrews 2, verse 1. Therefore we ought to give thee more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. What was the problem in the wilderness? They weren't listening. They didn't want God to speak to them. They said, "You, God, Moses, you tell God, tell you, and then you tell us, and we'll listen to you." They didn't listen to God or Moses. Now what happens? Centuries go by and the nation of Israel gets another chance in the tribulation. Paul is writing to them, take heed, make sure you give earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Verse 2, for if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord? Go back to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 25. That's what Paul is saying here. See that you refuse not him that speaketh from heaven. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, that was Moses, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. That's Jesus. What's Paul saying? Take heed. At the mountain, what did God say to the people before He began to give them the law? He said, take heed. What did they fail to do? Take heed. Paul is telling the Jews in the tribulation, take heed. Give more earnest heed to the things which you have heard. Refuse not him that speaketh. Make sure you're listening to what he says. Why? Look at what they lost in the past. And he's saying, you could lose this again in the future. What's the message? Take heed how you hear. Because if you don't pay attention, and if you don't let God speak to your heart, if you don't shut some things off and go back and think over what God has said to you, think it over. Analyze it. Think about it a little bit. You ever read something that you had to go back? I mean in secular things, the paper and books and you know, whatever. We had to go back and read it two or three times before you understood it. And you said, well, no, wait, what did I just read? What did that say? And it might take you maybe a little bit of study and a little bit of research to fully understand the thing written about. Well, why would the Bible, written by God, be any different? Wouldn't there be things in there we would expect, since we're mortal and infinite, and here's an immortal, eternal, infinite God whose mind is full of things that you and I could never comprehend? If He's going to write a book, it might take a little study. It might take a little reading it again and again. It might take a little sit down, think about it some. It might take a little bit of analysis, maybe a little bit of meditation. Why do we just, we let it go in one ear and it's gone? It's like we didn't hold on to it long enough for it to really do us any good. But I'm telling you, take heed how you hear. Because if you don't take heed, you lose. God will take away from you your blessings, and He may take away from you those things that are eternally significant, your rewards. You can lose them. That's what Jesus said. Take heed what you hear. Take heed how you hear. Let's bow our heads this morning. We'll finish it next Sunday, but that should be enough this morning for you to think about. Are you listening to God? I don't even mean right now, this moment, but I mean in your life. Are you one that listens? Are you one that Well, you're just putting your time in. It's Sunday morning, I'm here. God should just be glad I'm here. Well, if you're here and you're not listening, then why are you here? You might as well go to something else. Being in this room doesn't provide any benefits. Sitting in these chairs doesn't provide any eternal benefit. Even being around all these nice, wonderful people is no benefit to you spiritually. The only thing that's going to benefit you is if you take this book into your heart and hold on to it and let its truth start to change you. Because you are reading and hearing things that came from the mind of an infinite God, your Savior and Creator. And those truths are life-changing. Changing. Change is inevitable. If you listen, change is inevitable. You will change. Your attitude will change. Your lifestyle will change. Your goals will change. If those things don't change, it's only evidence that you are not listening. If you're saved and you're living and thinking and talking the same way you did before you were saved, I can tell you this, you are not hearing God. You are not listening to God. And if you're not listening, you're going to lose. You will lose. I'm not reproving you. I'm just telling you and beseeching you, for God's sake, pay attention. Let God have your ears. Slow down. Shut some things off. Make the time to let God speak to you. It's going to get harder and harder to hear because it's getting noisier and noisier in this world. Everybody's screaming out their solutions at us. Everybody's screaming out their answers. Everybody's got the remedy. Everybody wants your attention. Everybody wants to sell you something. So you're going to have to consciously slow down, seclude yourself sometime, and let God get through your ears. You'll see your faith increase. You'll see your blessings just multiply. And you're going to see your effectiveness for Jesus Christ grow too. And if you won't listen, then you're a loser. Saved, but you lose. And I hope that's not true of you today. Father, Lord, I just pray that you'd please help us to hear. Help us to get the things out of our mind and out of our ears, Lord, that keep us from hearing you. Just help us to tune in to the Spirit of God. And I pray you will speak to every heart here this morning. This was a message for Christians this morning. I don't know if there's anybody here today unsaved. Lord, if there is, I hope they were listening. I hope they would realize, Lord, that you have a message for them too. They know they need Jesus Christ. They need to be saved. And Lord, I just pray that you'd help us, every one of us, to apply what you've said. Thank you for the time together today. Pray you bless each one, Lord, as we go home today. Please keep everybody safe. Lord, we pray for the meeting tonight. We pray that you'd give Pastor Mel strength tonight, Lord. What a blessing if he could be able to preach again. Lord, I just pray you'd hold him up and help him tonight. May you give him clarity, and may you just make the message a blessing to all those that'll be there. We pray you just help us, Lord, as we go, that we'd have some safety tonight and a good time of fellowship. And we just commit this day to thee, Lord. Thank you so much for the time together this morning. Lord, we want the Lord Jesus Christ to receive all the glory and honor, and we thank you now in his name. Amen. Amen. All right, folks, God bless you, and we are dismissed.